Welcome to Upon This Rock with pastor and Bible teacher Chris McCarrick of Cornerstone Calvary Chapel. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by God's Word.
Do you really believe in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And if so, is that power flowing through your life through the Spirit? Are you yielded to that? We need the power of His resurrection to live this Christian life.
My heart beats for you, filled with power and mystery. Lord, I thirst for you. You are everything. You are everything. Lord, you are beautiful, awesome and wonderful.
On today's edition of Upon This Rock, as we continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians, we begin a two-part study titled, Evidence for the Resurrection. Here is Pastor Chris now with a teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1.
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then, last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. You know, it's interesting. We did not plan this to where I would be teaching from 1 Corinthians 15, and at the same time, the outreach team would show the video, and we didn't choreograph that. You know, it just kind of is how it falls together. I think someone else choreographed it, like the Holy Spirit. But we come now to one of the most important chapters in the Bible, and no doubt the most complete defense and discussion on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in all the Scriptures. Clearly, Paul lays it out here in 1 Corinthians 15. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the linchpin of Christianity. It is the truth that all our faith hangs on. And Paul will make a case in this chapter that if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain or empty. And if Christ is not risen, that our faith is futile. Now, as we look at this, the question within 1 Corinthians that's posed is the resurrection of the dead in general. There was a prominent issue within the Greek culture of even believing in the resurrection at all. In fact, they had influenced the Jewish culture so much so that there was a sect called the Sadducees, you might remember. And the Sadducees were ones who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And of course, that is why they're sad, you see. That's a bad one, right? Sorry. But the question of the resurrection had crossed over from the Greek culture into Judaism, and it was an issue. They did not see the physical bodily resurrection. And in fact, in Acts chapter 17, when Paul was in Athens, and he had spoken to them about the unknown God, and there when he mentions the resurrection, it says that some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." In other words, come on, the resurrection of the dead. You're going to tell me that this man really raised from the dead? Speaking of Jesus, of course. Now, in Corinth, the question was not whether the Corinthian Christians believed that Jesus raised from the dead. They believed that. But they had questions about the resurrection of others from the dead, the bodily resurrection of the Christian. And so verse 12 really is the center of the question. If you look at it, it says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So there's this doctrinal problem within Corinth. And this chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul will deal with the whole issue of resurrection. And it is a doctrinal chapter. It really is the most doctrinal chapter in the book of Corinthians. And Paul, before he answers this question of the issue of the bodily resurrection of Christians, he does so by establishing the truth of the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, here's Paul's thing. He's saying, "I don't have to prove to you that you're going to raise from the dead. All I got to prove to you is that Jesus rose from the dead, and thus it is makes sense that if Jesus rose from the dead and he's the first fruits among the dead, then you'll raise from the dead." And so Paul makes the defense of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, in this section we've just read, he gives three proofs of Christ's resurrection that we're studying today. So let's look at them together. In verses 1 and 2, we see the first proof, and it's the proof of the power of the gospel to change lives. Look what it says. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you are saved." Look at the "yous" here. "In which you hold fast that the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." I think Paul's trying to say, you are the issue. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the proof of that is shown in the fact that the gospel changed lives. The gospel changed the lives of the Corinthians. And Paul preached it, and they received it. By the way, there is a need for a preacher. Romans chapter 13, Paul says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and who bring glad tidings of good things." See, when a preacher gives the gospel, and by the way, you're all preachers. Did you know that? Because Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." That's the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion, by the way. It's the Great Commission for you and I to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Paul is laying this out that he preached and the Corinthians received. Now, when I preach on a Sunday morning like this, generally it is received by most of you. Not by everyone who comes in, but those who come into church, they know, well, you're going to hear a preacher, right? Hopefully you don't hear a screecher. But you're going to hear a preacher. You're going to get preached to. Now, you hopefully aren't getting preached at, but you're being preached to. But you know, it's a little different when you go out on the streets and you preach, because you're invading their territory. Like these guys who were on the video, a lot of them go out street preaching. They go into the malls and they go door to door and they street preach. And that's a whole different deal, because you could be preaching in the streets and all of a sudden you get someone antagonistic and the preaching becomes an argument. So it's a whole different thing. That doesn't happen here, at least not very often. And if you start arguing in here, there's a couple of very large ushers who are going to take care of you. So that's not an open forum. But the gospel is a gospel in which these Corinthians, they had to receive it. You see, there's a difference between those who preach. Yes, you need the preacher. But then the Holy Spirit does a work in the heart of the person. And there needs to be a receptor, the receiver. And Paul says, look, you Corinthians, you receive the gospel that I gave to you. And it's a gospel in which you can stand. In 2 Samuel, it says that he makes our feet like the feet of a deer to set on a high place. In other words, you will be foundational in that. In Ephesians 6, Paul says that we're to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's a foundation you're in when you're in the gospel, when you believe the gospel. That whatever happens in life, the gospel is real and true, and you can stand on that truth. And he says it's that by which that gospel you are saved if you hold fast to that word which I preached, unless you preached in vain, or you believed in vain, I should say. And Paul isn't saying here that you're going to lose your salvation, but he's saying if your faith is real faith, it's a faith that will save you, and it's a faith in which you will stand. Remember how the Bible speaks of salvation in the past, present, and future terms. It says that by grace you have been saved through faith. It says that we are being saved by the power of God. And our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. In other words, we're looking forward to a salvation. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. And if you have real faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're saved. And that's the basis of the gospel. But Paul's point here is the fact that the church in Corinth existed because Paul preached the gospel and they received the gospel, they were saved, and it changed their lives. You know, it's interesting how Paul first came to Corinth. If you look at Acts chapter 18, you can read that on your own. But in Acts 18, it tells us that Paul came from Athens. Now, when Paul left Athens after preaching about the unknown God to the Athenians, they didn't really receive him. So Paul wasn't very successful. He wasn't feeling his oats when he got to Corinth. In fact, I think he was rather discouraged. In fact, we know that the Lord gave him a vision. In verse 9, it says that the Lord spoke to Paul in a night vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you. No one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And that's in the city of Corinth that we're talking about here. And it tells us then that Paul stayed there for a year and a half, which is the longest stay he took other than in the area of Ephesus. Paul had been encouraged by the Lord to preach the Corinthians, and they had believed it. That's the first proof. The first proof of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the fact of the existence of the Corinthian church and thus the existence of the church in general. In fact, it is the greatest proof we have. The first proof we have, not necessarily the greatest proof, but the first proof we have of the gospel of Jesus Christ is our lives. The fact that we're born again. The fact that we are who we are. The fact that Jesus has changed a sinner such as me. That's a great proof of the gospel. By the way, if the gospel has not impacted your life, why not? Could it be that you've not embraced the gospel? That maybe you believe in theory that Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead? Oh, yeah, I've heard that. I grew up with that. Listen, that was me. I believed that growing up. I believed that Jesus died, and somebody said Jesus rose. Yeah, probably he rose. We do Easter. That's cool. But I hadn't done anything about it. I hadn't put my faith in him. I haven't opened my heart to him. And when I did do that, he changed my life from the inside out. He made me a new person. And it's not just about believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but it's also believing that he rose from the dead. And not just theoretically believing that he rose from the dead, but believing that since he rose from the dead, that that would change our lives. That there's power in that. Since Jesus Christ can raise from the dead, then there is power for Jesus to be able to help you overcome whatever you're going through in your life. I read about a man who said he was saved at 7 years old, that he always believed that Jesus died for his sins. But he didn't walk in the power of the resurrection. He struggled with alcohol and all kinds of other problems until finally he went to a preacher and asked him this question. And the preacher said, well, you don't believe in the real power of the resurrection because your life is not living a life under the power of the resurrection. You see, if you really believe in the power of the resurrection, you'll believe that he can change your life. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul wanted it all. And I have the question for you today, Christian in this room, maybe one who believes you're a Christian, maybe you're saved, maybe you're not. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes if you're in that place. But I would pose this question. Do you really believe in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And if so, is that power flowing through your life through the Spirit? Are you yielded to that? We need the power of his resurrection to live this Christian life. So the first proof we have of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the fact that the church exists, the fact that we are here, the fact that the Corinthian church exists. And in Acts chapter 1, it says that he suffered by these things many infallible proofs. So the first proof is that. The second proof is the scriptures. Look what it says in verses 3 and 4. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. By the way, these two verses are the gospel in miniature. Here it is. Very simple. If you don't know how to preach the gospel, this is how you can preach the gospel. They're very simple. Christ died for your sins. Christ rose from the dead. Christ was buried and rose from the dead, I should say. So really six words. Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ rose. That's it. Now, people say, well, I don't believe that. You say, well, I don't care whether you believe it. It says it. It's true. In other words, you just can give the gospel and you can say to someone, do you know because of that, your sins are forgiven you. You can have every sin forgiven you. And people can argue and they can say whatever. You could just keep saying, yeah, but. But Jesus died for you. And Jesus was buried in a grave, and on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. That's all you need to know to be able to go and share the love of God with someone. And Paul says, I'm presenting this to you in this single great example of human history of what really happened. He says that by revelation, he received what he's delivering to them according to the scripture, that Christ died for our sins. Isaiah chapter 53 points to the death of Jesus Christ. It says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was chastised for our peace. It says that we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Psalm 22, it makes it clear that the Messiah would be forsaken by the Father, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then it goes on to describe the death of a man. I am a worm, I am a no man. And the death of the cross. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Then we see the typology laid out in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham walks his son Isaac to the mountain, to Mount Moriah, and he lays him on that altar to sacrifice him. In a picture of the father giving his son as a sacrifice, we also see in that picture the resurrection. As Abraham is about to plunge that knife into Isaac, his son, the angel of the Lord speaks to him and says, Abraham, now I know that you believe. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us that Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead, and that's why he was willing to carry it out, because he believed in resurrection. And pointing to the resurrection, in Psalm 16, it says there regarding the Messiah, it says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, my flesh also will rest in hope, and you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. We see the picture in the story of Jonah. There in Mark chapter 12, where Jesus alludes to Jonah, and he says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, alluding to the story of the resurrection. Jesus himself foretold his resurrection. When he was speaking to the Jews, they said to him, what sign will you show us since you do these things? And Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the Jews said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you'll raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. They remembered and believed the scripture. Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he told the disciples, he said, now when he came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And they kept word to themselves, questioning what this rising of the dead meant. He warned his disciples on the way to Jerusalem when he said, going to Jerusalem, he said, behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge, to crucify, and the third day he will rise again. Jesus proclaimed his resurrection. In Mark 14, when he was leaving the upper room and heading to the garden to pray, when they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you in Galilee. Jesus clearly said he would raise from the dead. The Bible clearly declares the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You might want to argue, a person might want to argue, whether or not the resurrection took place. You might want to argue about the facts surrounding the resurrection, but you cannot argue that the resurrection is not preached and taught in this word. It is clearly here. The scriptures declare the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection is the centerpiece to this gospel that we preach. The Old Testament scriptures allude to it and point to it. The New Testament scriptures clearly lay it out and they proclaim it. The whole of the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts, the entire theme of the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every time that one of the apostles preach, they preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And at one point, the apostles get arrested and are told to no longer speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And if they'll not speak in the name of Jesus, then they'll be set free. And the apostles refuse. Why do they refuse? Because Jesus was alive and they had seen him. And in essence, they were being told, stop preaching that Jesus is risen and you'll be left alone. But they refused because they were compelled because they saw him alive. Jesus Christ is alive. And this is the power of the gospel. Jesus is alive.
You've been listening to Upon This Rock with Pastor Chris McCary. As we bring this program to a close today, we'd like to remind you that you can have a CD copy of today's message by emailing us at info@cstonecc.org or giving us a call at 732-901-5525. For more information about our ministry, visit us on the web at cstonecc.org. When you get in touch with us, just ask for CD number UTR4657. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Upon This Rock. Join us next time as we continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. Aren't you beautiful, awesome, and wonderful?